We're going to be looking at that passage of the feeding of the 5,000. So you may want to have it open before you. So it's John chapter 6. It's probably on page 1069, depends which Bible you've got. John chapter 6, and it's verses 1 to 15. So Jesus feeds the 5,000. Let's just pray as we begin to explore God's word. Father, we thank you indeed for your word. Thank you that it is living and active. Thank you that it is precious. And Father, we pray that we would have hearts and minds open to all that you want to say. Help us to hear your voice and your voice alone. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I just wonder whose idea it was to study the holy habit of eating together during Lent, okay? People may well have given up chocolate or drinking coffee or might well be having simpler meals as they prepare for Easter. So the invitation to you is, shall we get together for a glass of cold water and a rice cake? It doesn't have quite the same appeal, does it, as meeting up for coffee and chocolate cake, which I think I did on Ash Wednesday. Hey-ho. But it's the thought that counts, isn't it? And anyway, the idea of holy habits, thank you, we have the next bit. So the idea of holy habits is that they become just that, habits. So we will be planning on putting this habit into practice way after Lent has finished, when chocolate and coffee will definitely be back on the menu. Although technically, Sundays are not part of Lent. Sundays are celebration days, and they're not counted as part of Lent. And I've noticed the slightly fewer emails I've got on my inbox today. So Sunday's celebration day. We have got some shared meals planned. We weren't able to manage it for March, but we have got a planned shared meal on Maundy Thursday. We're going to have a service and we'll have a shared meal with that. And then we've got another shared meal planned for May the 19th. We will have a new Ipswich Archdeacon by then, and she'll be preaching at that service, and then we'll have a shared meal after that. So the dates will go in the service sheet, in the notice sheet. Put them in your diary. So, Jesus feeding 5,000. It must be important. It must be important. It's told in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we heard the John version today. Now, John records 8 of Jesus' miracles, and he calls them signs. When Jesus changed the water into wine at that wedding in Cana in Galilee, we're told that it was the first of his miraculous signs. And John uses these signs. He uses these signs to reveal and to build up something more about Jesus in our understanding and in what we can see about his mission. And so this account of the feeding of the 5,000 is a sign. It also reveals something more about Jesus, and we'll look at that in a minute. But this is an amazing miracle, isn't it? You're likely to have heard it before. I doubt this is the first time that any of you have heard this account. You've probably heard it, read it, listened to sermons on it. I've managed to speak on it on several occasions, in assemblies, in all age, in care homes, at All Saints, and here on more than one occasion. So this picture is one of the pictures that appears in the Holy Habits book, and it's a sort of... can we go back? Thank you. It's a modern interpretation of the feeding of the 5,000, and it sort of picks up on the listening and the learning that would have gone on as well. So just a few little facts, really, to begin with. It wasn't 5,000 people. The version Carol read said 5,000 men. Women weren't counted. Children weren't counted. They weren't considered, They weren't considered at all, actually. They weren't that important. So we really don't know how many mouths were fed. It could have been 10,000 or 15,000. Whatever number, it's a bit of a mind-boggling number, isn't it? So just to get a feel of the number, think of spectators that go down to Ipswich Town football match regularly. Oh, no, Wayne says don't. On a bad day, they've had a few of those. 2nd of October against Middlesbrough, they only had 13,000 fans there. It was slightly better against Norwich, they had 25,000. But if you just imagine the number of people that are walking down to Portman Road and just try to imagine organising them to sit in groups on green grass. The other Gospels tell us that the grass was green, which sort of indicates springtime. And the other Gospels tell us that they sat down in groups of 50 and 100. So imagine trying to get all those supporters to sit down in these little groups. And then I wonder what these hungry souls were thinking when they see this little boy with a small packed lunch. Well, it was a packed lunch and they didn't have anything, so it was a bit more than they had. But it wasn't actually a very good packed lunch. Barley loaves, which is what this little boy had, barley loaves were the loaves of the poor. It wasn't a loaf of choice. Thank you. But nevertheless, Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks, and it was distributed amongst the people. And he did the same with the fish. So we've imagined the numbers. Again, just imagine passing that bread along, you know, when the collection plate comes along or when communion comes along. Imagine that basket of bread and fish coming along. And, you know, a bit further away, it looks like that bowl's getting a bit empty. And they may not make it to you, but by the time it gets to you, well, there's plenty, and probably more than you saw earlier. And as it passes on the line, there's still plenty, and still more and more. If you think of it, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Not by any imagination could you believe that that would feed any number of people. But that little boy willingly offered, and in Jesus' hands, it became more than enough. Thank you. Bread being passed down. Thank you. And the next picture, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Nowhere can you think that that would feed many people at all. But it did. It was offered willingly and it became more than enough. And it was a memorable meal. One that I have no doubt would have been talked about for a long time. And we still do today. But it was a bit of a test for the disciples. We read, didn't we, that Jesus asked Philip where they could buy bread for all the people to eat. In the New International Version, it says Jesus asked this only to test him because he already knew what he was going to do. But in the Message Version, we're told that Jesus asked this question to stretch Philip's faith. He asked this question to stretch Philip's faith. Philip was able to work out the practicalities. He knew that the number of people there, he was able to work out that the cost that would be involved, and even that just wasn't going to be humanly possible. It would not be humanly possible to have enough money to go and buy enough bread and for there to be enough bread to get. And that was one of the problems, that he was thinking humanly. He was assuming what could and what couldn't be done. And he was limiting God. He was limiting God by financial resources that weren't there. And I wonder if sometimes that's what we do. I wonder if sometimes we limit God. Perhaps we can't afford to offer much in time or finance or skills. So we end up not offering anything at all. Whereas actually, God can take the very small amount that we do offer, the very small amount that we do offer willingly. He can take that and he can use it amazingly. He can multiply it over and over. We read that nothing is too difficult for God. There's an account in the Holy Habits book. The author, Andrew Roberts, writes about one of the most memorable meals that he had. And this was with some homeless men on Prince's Street in Edinburgh. The author says, "I was working in the city a few days before Christmas and went to visit the German market on the garden side of the street. The market was alive with music, laughter, light, and all sorts of treats to buy and to eat. On the other side of the street, the homeless men were beginning to bed in for the night, in the cold, in the shop entrances. Andrew went back to the market and he got some food and he took it across to share with some of the men. And he found that it was a holy moment. Their gratitudes and their smiles were as bright as the lights across the road," he says. "And as he left, the mutual expressions of 'God bless' were as alive as if Jesus, whose birth they were about to celebrate, was physically there, pronouncing God's blessing himself." God seems to have taken that small, spur-of-the-moment opportunity and used it greatly. And a bit like this feeding of the 5,000, I wonder how many other people those men would have told about their shared food, about their shared time together, about how special it was. Imagine the seeds that were sown. So I wonder if God takes the small things that we offer as we share food together. I wonder if he uses that for greater things than we can ever imagine. It may be just one or two people that we meet with. It may not be 5,000 men. It may not be a miraculous feeding. It may not be a magnificent dinner party. It may just be coffee and biscuits, a simple lunch, a picnic. But it is offered. It is shared. It is a time, a place where friendships and relationships can grow and be nurtured, where seeds can be sown, where Jesus' love is shown. Perhaps Jesus is testing our faith. Perhaps he's stretching our faith. Perhaps he wants us to encourage and invite people around more regularly or more deliberately. And perhaps the challenge is not to just do this with people that we know well or feel comfortable with, or know that they'll invite us back sometime. Perhaps not even just people from church or good friends or family, but perhaps he's inviting you to invite other people that we don't know quite so well, or maybe not get on with quite so well. Perhaps work colleagues, people living in our neighbourhood, people from the sports group or social groups that we belong to. We only have to look at Jesus and see the type of people that he spent his time with. And we are very much sort of in a small little group, really, with the people that we spend our time with. But we know that Jesus spent his time with all different types of people: men, women, those who were sick, beggars, widows, prostitutes, tax collectors, leaders, teachers. We only have to imagine the crowd that were there listening to Jesus on this day when Jesus fed them with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. So just be aware of God prompting you or nudging you, and invite those people that God lays on your heart. We may, in our opinion, only be offering something small and inadequate, but with God using that opportunity, with God using that offering, he can make something amazing out of it, and it can be a significant part of growing God's kingdom here on earth. So how is God going to challenge you as we share food together, as we learn more about this holy habit? Now, I did say at the beginning that this miracle was a sign. John tells us about signs. Thank you. Can I have the next picture? Yeah. So this is a sign that John is using to show us a bit more about Jesus. And some of the people had indeed spotted that in his actions, Jesus was fulfilling some of the promises that God had made about the Messiah, about the Saviour. We read in verse 14, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. So as well as the miracle, as well as feeding the people who were there were spotting something in Jesus. And bread is very significant. And bread is very significant to the Jews. They believed, thank you, that when God's Messiah came, he would bring in the return of all God's kingdom, that he would be the return of bread from heaven. And that was a bit like that gift that the people had when they were wandering in the desert. And food in the desert was seen as revealing God's power and glory. So Moses, with the Israelites, they were fed manna in the desert. We know when Elijah was in the desert, he was nourished by the ravens, and Elisha fed more than 100 men with just 20 loaves in the desert. And bread in the desert was significant. They had that expectation that something of God's Messiah would be revealed. And here was Jesus revealing something more about himself by being involved with this bread in the desert. So they could see in Jesus just a bit more than somebody who managed to make 5 loaves go so far. And Jesus actually fulfilled a few other expectations. It was commonly believed or commonly understood then that for the Jews to have a meal, they didn't consider it was a proper meal unless they were completely filled, unless they were completely satisfied, in fact, oversatisfied. And here in the desert, they were satisfied. And they also considered it was bad hospitality if there was nothing left over and there was plenty left over. So Jesus was fulfilling some of those expectations that the people had about the promised Messiah. He was making a statement. He was making a claim. He's come to bring in the day of salvation, to bring the kingdom of God near. But Jesus wasn't just looking back by having this meal. He was also looking forward, because ultimately he's looking forward to that celebration, that banquet that's promised. Thank you. The banquet that is promised to all who follow and trust and believe in him and his resurrection. And this celebration, this feast, is mentioned throughout the Bible. Isaiah describes it as a feast of rich food for all people. And then at the other end of the Bible, Revelation, we read about the wedding of the supper lamb, the wedding supper of the lamb. And Jesus spoke about this this meal to look forward to, this time of celebration, this banquet. He spoke about it in many of his parables, the 10 bridesmaids, the parable of the great banquet, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, just to name a few. And the people in the desert, the feeding of this 5,000, they would have just got a glimpse of the promise of this banquet. They would have just got a glimpse of the promise that Jesus was offering them. And we get a promise of that. We get a glimpse of that, don't we, when we receive communion, when we receive bread and wine. We give thanks to God. We look back on all that's happened and we look forward to all that will happen. And there is a communion service this evening at 6:30. Do come if you can. So a challenge. If eating together, thank you, if we can have the last slide. If eating together can be a sign of God's reign and God's kingdom. How am I, how are you going to be more involved? Is God stretching my faith? Is he stretching your faith? What opportunities are we going to make? What opportunities are we going to take as we share food together? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this sign that Jesus gave as he shared food with those 5,000 men and then women and children. Father, thank you that he looked back. Thank you that he looked forward. And Lord, we pray that each little opportunity that we're given, each little opportunity that we take, each time we share with others, we pray, Lord, that seeds of your kingdom would be sown in those occasions. Father, help us to be willing to share even the small amount that we may have. Help us to be open to your prompting. And help us to be willing to be part of building your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name. Amen.